Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Happy Mother's Day. And we're joined by Angela Cole today. Angela, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Grayson. Thank you.
And so if you're listening and you're a mother, happy Mother's Day. And if you're a woman, we would like to say happy
Ladies' Day.
We celebrate you.
Yes, we celebrate you.
Yeah, we celebrate all the ladies today. Mother's Day is not always an easy day for everyone. That's just a part of this broken world that we live in.
Absolutely.
And so I just think that it's really a good opportunity to just have a conversation about motherhood today. And as Grayson and I were talking about, like, who should we bring on? I'm like, let's bring on Angela Cole. You'll just love to hear her story today. Mm-hmm. She's not new to the show. She's been on before. But today we're just going to dive into just this topic of motherhood. So, Angela, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for asking me.
Absolutely.
I love hanging out with you all.
Yeah, it's always fun to have you in here with us. And so as you think about Mother's Day, like, what are some of the thoughts that rise up in your mind?
That's a fun question. Well, the first thing that comes to mind is we have a tradition in my house that for Mother's Day, I get to pick out all the flowers for my pots on the porch. That's something we've started with my kids, and that is one of my favorite things, one of my favorite days.
That.
So that's just been something that we've done because my birthday is typically about 7 to 10 days after Mother's Day. So we've had to find some way to reprieve my husband, but it's awesome. And but, you know, Mother's Day for me is a sweet day. Mike always laughs. He's like, you always say you just like a few hours alone. Why do mothers do that on Mother's Day? And I was like, well, I think that's just a little gift because as moms, you're always giving.
That's right.
But for me as well, I think about Mother's Day with my own mom. And that was quite different than Mother's Day for me. So, you know, Mother's Day can just be a really mixed bag, I think.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be blood to be a mother.
Oh, that's right.
Because you have a mother and a stepmother.
I sure do. I have a mom and a stepmom. And so that brings all kinds of aspects of motherhood from my life. And I think of my granny as well. My granny was such an influence to me and was such a huge part of my life. She was quite a mother figure in my life. So you're exactly right. I think it's important for everybody to hear today. Don't be discouraged by Mother's Day because your influence could be just the mother someone needs.
That's right. Yeah. I have some spiritual mothers in my life. My mom is going on to glory, but I have some spiritual mothers in my life that have spoken in and are still speaking in to my life. And that is such a gift. But for those today that have not had the opportunity to be a mother or have lost a child, my heart goes out to them,
absolutely,
to every person today, and just know today that God sees you and He cares. He loves you so much. And we realize that today might not be the easiest day.
It's a tender day.
Yeah, it is a tender day. So, Angela, let's just talk a little bit about, we've talked about, you know, not every situation is perfect. And honestly, since Adam and Eve, there's no family that hasn't been dysfunctional, right?
That's right.
We all have our dysfunction, even you and I as parents.
Oh, yeah.
Like we,
oh, absolutely.
You know, we're doing the best we can.
That's right. Right. That's
right. So tell us a little bit about your relationship with your mother, if you would be willing to do that.
Sure. I said I can do that now. She's in heaven and she won't hear me.
She might be leaning in.
Yeah, some people get that. But
healed.
So my mom and dad were married a very short time. They started their separation when I was 2. And the divorce was final when I was 3. And so, and then my stepmom appeared in my life when I was 4. So that has made me, I just always say that it's made me who I am. I will tell you that story, we always called it happy dysfunction, you know, because that's just who I am. Let's just add the happy to it. But has made me who I am. And I knew early on that I had a need for Jesus. So my mom, was a single mom. My mom never remarried. She dated a lot, but never remarried. And, my dad and stepmom, remarried when I was 10. They dated for 6 years. And then, interestingly enough, my sister was born when I was 13. So we'll talk about that some more. Yes. But yeah, Ashley, who is my sister, love her so much. She came along when I was 13. But my mom was not always easy at all. She loved me very much. She did what she could do. I think as an adult, I've realized that she loved the way she could.
Yeah.
She mm-hmm. loved at her greatest capacity, which was not always the way I desired it. And had hoped for it, but she kind of just blended me into her single life. And so that was not always easy. And then my stepmom, who has come to the Lord, who if I would have been sitting here, goodness, when I was a teenager, I would have said, there will be no relationship when I'm an adult. Mm. And I don't even know if my dad and stepmom will still be married, and the Lord has redeemed all of that.
Wow.
It is. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
My kids are a part of their life. They go there, and it is a God story for sure.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
is a God story. But because of those years and because of those things, God was always my safe place, and I needed him. So I'm thankful for those things. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thankful that God knew what story was mine, and he used it. But you were asking about Mother's Day. When I think about Mother's Day, you know, you always think about buying a Mother's Day card or a Mother's Day gift, and my stepmom's easy. I mean, she's easy to please. She just, especially at this stage of life. But my mom was not. My mom was, I mean, she expected a certain gift. I mean, she just was that. That was her love language gift. So she very much expected everyone to love that way. But also, when you think about buying a Mother's Day card, you know, and you go in and you read about, this person has inspired me. This person is devoted. I mean, on and on and on. And I used to stand there. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've stand there and just read those things and thought,
yeah.
And I ended up with a blank card and wrote her a note.
Yeah.
That's real. Yeah. And I'm sure that some folks that are listening
Absolutely.
Have experienced yeah. that. So Mother's Day was always a little tricky, but we did it. We celebrated anyway. And I did it the best way I could for the mom that
yeah.
I had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that someone said it recently, and I think it was sitting here. They said it on the podcast, and I won't get it right, but they had parents that parented broken.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's all of our stories. That's not just one or two moms. That's yeah. and dads. Like, that's just life makes us who we are. And
we all parent out of our own broken places.
Yes.
And that is really true. I think that's really true of my own mom. And I wish I knew more. Mm. We say that about my granny. We say that. But there was this, folks didn't always share those broken places.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I've talked to my husband a lot. Like, I just feel like there is so much more to her story and so much more of the why that we will never know. And that's why the Lord, I think, has been good to help me realize that she did parent.
Yes.
And love out of those places,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
And so that's helped me. That's helped me to forgive.
Yeah.
That's helped me to understand. That's helped me to value her for right where she is. But I will tell you, it's made me always decide. You hear in the Christian world sometimes, I want to break generational curses, or I have the opportunity to make the future generations look different. And that is only through Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I did. I wanted a home that looked different, that did speak the name of Jesus, that did those things differently. And it doesn't mean I begrudge or I don't value where I came from. I do.
Yeah.
But it was just a choice that I wanted to be different for my kids.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, and I don't know if you ever have had this moment, but have you ever had a moment where you go, I am my mother?
Oh, dear. Yes. Words that come out of my mouth. And as I get older, I look in the mirror and I see her.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there are certain things that she did that I, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's true. I've got some of my stepmom helped raise me. She was mm-hmm. in the trenches. And so I've got a little bit of both of that. And,
yeah.
Sometimes it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. It is.
I can look at myself and say, that's my mom.
That's very true, Grayson. I can look at you and see your mom too. Or hear your mom. And that's a beautiful thing.
That's right. That's right. And yeah, I think I think it's kind of humbling, but it really sets us in our place. You know, that is a part of who we are. Our moms and our grandmothers and our dads, all that. So
good, bad, or indifferent.
That's right.
Good, yeah. bad, and ugly, as they
yeah.
say.
Yeah. Absolutely. So You mentioned that you had a sister that was 13 years younger. How was that as a 13-year-old?
Interesting. I was very excited about her. It's just my nature. I was very excited, you know. But when she got two and I was 15, I was like, gosh, what in the world? You know, you had this two-year-old around all the time. And here's the thing. I did not want to go anywhere with her. I did not want to push her stroller. I did not, because I knew people thought she was mine.
Wow.
And
wow.
That was like, but what's beautiful is, you know, I was at a stage where I was, I didn't have much longer. And, you know, in home, like, I got to 18, graduated, went to school, did all the things. And, but what's so beautiful now is that she is one of my dearest friends. Like, wow. She is a gift to me. And she's just grown up to be a beautiful woman of God. And watching her is just so neat. And we just have this bond and connection that is so sweet. So I'm so very thankful. And if any of you know my story, it's kind of funny. Like
he was preparing you.
He was preparing me. He was preparing me to be able to help my kids. So Mike and I didn't have kids till we were 30. We'd been married 8 years, and it was my career, all the things, and we weren't yep. in a hurry to do that. And so I had Gwen and June at 30 and Eli at 32. And I remember grieving at 36. Like, that birthday hit me so hard. I was like, I'll never hold a baby again. I'll never have another baby. I mean, it's just that time is over. Like, it was very real. I'd never had a birthday like that where I just was like, this is awful. Gosh, I'm like, well, that wasn't the case. If you know my story, at 44, we had another child. And for those of you that are listening, if you think you're in menopause and you think that's why you're feeling that way, you might should check. Because it wasn't menopause. A baby. It was a real love baby that I found out. I was 15 weeks pregnant when I found out that I was pregnant with Ivy. Totally not expecting that, but the greatest joy. She just has been a blessing to our older kids. She came right during COVID. She was born in June of 2020. Only God can write those stories. So she's 14 years younger than Gwenna and 12 years younger than Eli. So we have this, it's just this funny little pattern.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. I wonder how your kids feel about that.
Well, when they first... they wouldn't want me to share this, but they will never listen, probably. Gwenna actually said, ooh, what? You can figure that out.
Yep.
And Eli cried. He was like, we're having another kid in this house. I mean, he'd been a baby for 12 years. He was not a happy camper. He was not. But now, and it didn't take long. They love her so big.
Oh, I see that.
And she loves them so well. And, you know, Gwen is at college. Thankfully, she's only about an hour and a half away. Ivy counts down the days that she's coming home, and she just loves her brother. And, I mean, it's a sweet, sweet relationship between them all.
Yeah, that is so good.
It's been so good.
Yeah, and, you know, Ivy is going to light up whatever room she walks in.
She's like little Angela.
She is a joy. I'm so thankful for her.
She's just so grown up, and probably because she has four adults.
Yeah, she lives with four adults. Yeah, this week she told me, I was like, what is happening in my world? I was telling her, we were talking about something that was going on at school, and I said, well, you have to be willing to share. You know, we were talking. She said, Mom, I really don't want you to. I was like, what? And she said, I know you're encouraging, but I really don't want to. And I thought, you are 5 and a half. Well, she'll be 6 in June. Where did that come from? But you're so right.
Yeah.
She's like another little adult in her house.
She is. Like, I just get the greatest kicks out of the conversations with her because she just is so easy to talk to. Sure. And you don't feel like you're talking to a 5-year-old. You know?
Well, and I'll tell y'all, for those of you that are listening, Pastor Margaret and I have been friends a long time, but I never knew I would have a child that would be friends with her grandchild. and so often people think that I'm Ivy's grandma, but it's God knows what you need, even if you don't.
That's right.
And I would have never planned that at age 40, you know, four. Mm-hmm. I would have never planned that, but God's plans are best.
Yeah.
So good. So good.
Yeah, I know she is a bright spot in your all's life, but in many people's. It's so fun to see her flit through the lobby at church and just, you know, getting hugs from, you know, her people.
She's very comfortable here, and I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah.
And in that way, she is like me, Grayson. You're right. She does. She doesn't have any trouble, like, interacting or talking to people.
So that means you'll have to keep an eye on her.
I know. Mike's like, where are you? Mike and Eli are ready to leave church, and Ivy and I are still greeting and talking. So
yeah.
They just have to wait on us.
Oh, that is so good.
Yeah. So that story, I mean, that of course, that has impacted my motherhood. I mean, like, all my friends are empty nest. I mean, getting ready to be empty nesters in the next several years. And so it's added this dynamic. Sometimes we laugh. We're like, well, she's either going with us, whatever we do. And our friends are so gracious. Everybody's so gracious. Like, yeah, they just kind of just have enveloped her.
Yeah.
But we laugh sometimes. We're like, what would we be doing right now? What would we be doing if we didn't have her? And Mike's like, we might have a hobby. But yes, Ivy is going to be. And everybody says, she'll keep you young. And I'm like, okay, I'm believing that. But
yeah, and I've noticed, though, there is a younger group of moms that the kids are about the same age. And that's been beautiful to watch, too.
Oh, like, I sometimes, like, because I do get to hang out with them because our kids are friends. So, I mean, like, they're all, I mean, your daughter, and I mean, there's just, I mean, girls that I watched grow up in this church.
Right.
And now,
you're like, having babies with them.
Yeah. I had a baby at the same time as, yeah. But it's just been a sweet experience. I mean, sometimes I like shake my head. We're all at a play date or we're somewhere or at a birthday party, and I'm like, oh my goodness, look at this. But the relationship I get to have with them, and sometimes I can just say, girls, this is not going to be a big deal, or because I've done it, you know, or, you know, let's just pray about that. Or they'll ask something. They'll reach out and be like, you know, how did you deal with this? Or what did you do with this? Or that's been a sweet experience. Yeah. That's been a. Sometimes I feel like the old lady in the group because I am, but I love them all so much. It's been neat.
Yeah.
So you get opportunities to be in two different groups of parents in different stages of life, different moms.
Right, Yeah, absolutely. Like, I have a group of friends whose all their older ones are going, or either in college, or they're getting ready to graduate, or both, a combination of both. That group I raised the first set of kids with, and then when Ivy comes along, I get to hang out with Ashley and Gentry and Sydney and, you know, all of those people, and it's just really sweet.
Yeah. Like you said, sometimes we wouldn't choose things for our life, but God sees and knows all of it. And
I know. And the way that Ivy has just brought love, we laugh at our house because Gwenna June was a daddy's girl, and she was also very strong-willed. This is not anything I wouldn't say directly to her. She was like, I kept James Dobson's strong-willed child. Mm-hmm. If you have a strong-willed child, you need that. You need to have it earmarked. You need to be able to read that often. There's a revised version. It's excellent. I'm telling you, I mean, she was so strong-willed, and she was so smart, and she would just be like, I mean, she would pick her daddy. She broke my heart, you know, she would pick her daddy over and over and over. But Ivy is the extreme opposite, and I'll sometimes be like, why don't you do bedtime tonight, Mike? And he'll be like, you asked for this. You were dreaming of one who didn't want anybody but you. And I was like, oh my goodness. So she's definitely my sidekick, and definitely But yeah, and that's the other thing I think that's so interesting with parenting is that, I mean, we have three kids and they're all three, I mean, absolutely different. There's pieces of them, but I mean, so different.
Yeah.
Their personalities are different. Their attitudes are different. Their strengths, their weaknesses, everything. They're so different. And I think that's just one of the things it humbles you and brings you back to the Lord to say, you know, you've given us these children. You've trusted us with these children, but I don't really have a clue what I'm doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I need you, Lord.
Yeah.
So.
That's so true. I remember when the girls were like 5 and 6, I took a parenting class that Pastor Carey was teaching, and I remember him saying, you with your compliant children, you know, you think you have it made because they just kind of, they're not talking, you know, your strong-willed child, it might be hard to hear what they have to say. But at least you know where they stand.
Oh, absolutely.
You know where they stand. There's no question. You might not like it, but at least you know. But with your compliant child, you have to figure out a way to get them to talk. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, was some of the best parenting advice that I ever got.
And you gave it to me when I was walking through that with toddlers and early elementary kids. I remember reaching out to you, and you said that to me. You have reminded me of that multiple times.
Yeah, and just to know God has made each one of them different, and He'll give us what we need
for each child.
For each child. Like, He'll give us the wisdom and discernment if we ask. So for those listening today that might find themselves in either camp, I think it helped me to have an appreciation for both of our children.
Right.
And the way they had been made.
Absolutely.
And it gave me a different perspective on my conversations and the importance of conversations with mm-hmm. children. Yeah. And making sure that I was having conversations.
Yes.
You know?
And what it took for one was different than the other.
Yeah, it's no cookie cutter, no. For sure. No. But, yeah.
And if you have older kids right now, I would say this to you. Don't forsake those 10 o'clock conversations. Mm. I'd like to be asleep at 8:30 every night. I mean, I am just an early bird. I like to be up early and go to sleep early. But I have found that both of my older two, even from college, Gwenna will call at 10 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. And now Eli does that. He wants to come in at right before bed, and that's when he talks.
Yep.
So be prepared for that, and just know that may
make
be,
space.
Yeah, make space for it.
That was the one thing that I knew that I would have to get one of the girls, Sydney, to talk. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, that was what we did. That was our nighttime bedtime. I would go from one room to the other, and they would both have that time to say whatever. I'd already heard most everything that Olivia had to say, because she shared it as soon as she saw me, you know, from her day. But still, those times were really precious, too. And I think Sydney was, like, she was probably close to 18, and she came in from out, whatever she had been doing, came through the living room, like, at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and she says, "Mom, you can come on back whenever you're ready."
She still wanted that.
And Steve looked at me, and he said, "That is ridiculous." But it was a cherished time that would not have happened if one person would not have taught a class that I learned just a simple sentence that changed how I parented.
Well, and I think that's so important. Like, community is so,
yeah,
I think that
right,
reminds us that community
right,
is
yeah.
so important. We're going through something with Ivy right now where she's just having some fears over things. And it is just, I mean, it's heavy. And you sometimes just want to say, get over it. But it's real to her.
Yes, absolutely.
And so I had asked Pastor Kevin in a meeting, or I'd shared with them the other morning. I was like, you know, I just really want y'all to pray for Ivy. Well, he followed up with me the other day and said, "How's Ivy doing?" And it mattered. And he said, "I want to tell you something, that my son went through this very same thing when he was a little boy." And he had reached out to Pastor Carrie at that point and found out that actually someone else in their family had gone through that very similar thing. And they had he recommended start putting prayers and scripture in the back of their closet. Mm. And the kids, they said, both of them, Carrie had told Kevin, now Kevin's sharing this with me. And he said, "They may never know." I said, "Well, Ivy will know. She notices everything, but that's okay with me."
Right.
And just put those prayers of healing, prayers against anxiety, prayers against, you know, all of those things, and just speak scripture over her. And I'm just like, you know, I'll be able to share that. I've already been able this week to share that with someone else.
Yeah.
And then we can use it. It's just, it's so important.
Yeah.
It's just so important. And I remember going through times with Gwenna where I didn't think, I mean, she would ever fully have a conversation with me again. And you reminded me, look at you and your girls now. Don't give up. These are just seasons.
Yeah.
Another piece of advice that you gave me when they were little, I think they were like baby and two, and I loved teaching women's Bible study. I loved it, but I was weary. Mm-hmm. I was tired. And you said to me, I will never forget this. You said, "Angela, there are seasons, and it's okay to be in this season with your kids right now. Bible study will come again. Mm-hmm. You will get to teach Bible study again." And I was like, that helped me so much. And you were right. I've gotten to teach Bible study.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's just those things matter, that investment from other people and other moms.
And we have to place ourselves. We have to be vulnerable. I think sometimes as a parent, it's hard to say, well, I'm struggling with this, or my child is struggling. we don't want to say those things, but when we do, obviously, in community, it makes, like, there's wisdom.
Well, and I think we think all the time, everybody else's kids are doing great. Mine are the only ones that are struggling. Mm-hmm. And let me just tell you, that is never true.
Amen.
Everybody has a battle. It may look different. It may be different. But no household is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're exactly right. Just like when we started. Since the garden, there's not been a family. And that family started out pretty rough.
Yeah. Good, dude. Yeah. Like real rough.
Yeah. Yeah. And so.
check that out.
Yeah. Adam and Eve, read the story. They had some real grief and.
God redeemed that story too and brought.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
A late child in.
What a story. I mean, when you start reading that Old Testament and you start you sometimes feel a little bit better because you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, but God shows us that to show I was present then, I was faithful then, I will be faithful now.
That's right. Yeah. And in the world we live in, I know some people would say, well, I'm worried about having children. And I would say that God's grace is sufficient to all generations.
That's right.
And so we can't live in fear, but Jeremiah 29 talks about the children of Israel when they were in captivity in Babylon. And, you know, he said, plant gardens and be fruitful and multiply, even when they were in captivity. Yeah. And so I think I just would like for parents, mothers today to know, hey, we're all in this together. And none of us have figured it out, but. We lean in and we listen and have 10 o'clock conversations.
That's right. That's right.
It's been great to have you, Angela, today to join us. And it's been a great conversation. Would one of you be willing to close in prayer, just praying for the mothers, the women listening, whatever their situation is on this day and this season?
I'd be glad.
For those that wish to be.
Yeah.
Okay. Pray. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you that you see us right where we sit today. Mm-hmm. You see each lady where they are. Lord, we bring these Mother's Day prayers to you. Lord, there's those of us that have past hurts. Remind us that you can redeem them and that we can go forward in you different, even when we don't forget and we value where we came from. Lord, I pray for the moms today who did not plan to do this as single moms. I pray for them. I pray for their strength. I pray for their endurance. I pray for their trust in you. I pray, Lord, that you would give them all they need abundantly. And Lord, remind them that the work they do is so valuable. And Jesus, just help them to know that you are with them. I pray for those this morning that are longing to be a mom. I pray, Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would give them the desires of their hearts. Mm-hmm. I do pray that, Lord, and I just pray, God, that each one of them would draw near to you and know that you have good plans for them and to trust you for that individual journey. I pray, Lord, that you would just be tender to their heart and that, Lord, that they would just experience your presence and your comfort today. Mm-hmm. I pray, Jesus, for those that have lost children. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine, and I just pray, God, that they would feel your great comfort, your great peace, and that they would know that you weep with them. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them. I pray, Lord, for those that are spiritual mothers and that get to speak into the lives of those who need them. Thank you. Thank you for them. I pray, Lord, today for anyone who is listening, Jesus. You know exactly where they sit. You know the hurts. You know the celebrations. And we bring them all to you today. Lord, today we celebrate you and we give you all the praise. Thank you for walking with us. Thank you for being near. Thank you for having all we need. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. It's been great to have you. I pray that as you've heard the conversation that Pastor Margaret and I have had with Angela Cole today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg, in partnership with Sunshine Ministries.